Now, this week, we had fasting and prayer here at the church at noon. And it was really a good time. And I pray you at home joined us, and I believe you did. But I want to tell you a couple of things that the Lord gave to me. You know, I think I'm just going to talk to you this morning and just let the Spirit say what He wants. But it has been a whirlwind, and it's been turbulent. And, you know, when you're flying in the plane and the plane comes into the clouds, and it's just like a real bumpy road, and the captain comes on with his very soft voice and tries to comfort us, and he will say, folks, you know, we're just in a patch of clouds, and we're going to rise above it, and so sit back and enjoy the flight. Pretty soon he'll rise above the clouds, and it's all smooth again. And that's what happens in days like these. There's been days, I'm sure for you even last year, where it was real bumpy, maybe in your life, or it was very, very, it's been a bumpy year for the church and for me as a pastor. You know, you hear words like, if you're going to church, you have no wisdom. If you're inside the church and COVID's running rampant, there's no wisdom for you, Pastor. And then if you don't go to church, well, you have no faith. And so what are you going to do? You have to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say and trust your people to do whatever they feel to do right. And so we'll just leave that. But so many times I've had to do this, and you have too, I know. We all, you know, we face the same things. I've had to rise above it. And how do you do that? Well, Paul told us in Philippians, he said, don't be anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. In the New Living Translation, he said, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. But pray about everything. Be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. And then he said, after you pray, then present that request to God with thanksgiving. And then he will give you that peace that passes understanding. Listen, and he said, it will guard your heart and your mind. Now, I want you to remember that. It will guard your heart and your mind. He didn't just say your spirit or your heart, but he said your mind too, because it's our mind that gives us the trouble. So this week on Thursday, I'm over here praying. And just seeking the Lord. You know, I mean, I just went after Him. There was so much going on. I didn't even know what to ask for. I didn't know what prayers to even present. So I just went after Him. And so, a little while into it, I heard Him begin to minister to me. About us, you and me, and all of us, you know, I know we've heard a lot about being in it together, but we are. You know, the world's in it together, especially the body of Christ. And he began to minister to me about my spirit. And he said, you know, your spirit is strong. And your spirit knows exactly what to do. And your spirit is holy. And your spirit is pure, and your spirit is righteous, and your spirit wants to speak and tell you where to go and how to rise above, how to keep moving. That's your spirit. I said, I know, Lord, and I want my spirit to be just as you have said. And I run with a wonderful group of people, and I know they do too. Father, what is our problem? And he said, it's your mind. It's your thoughts. It's your soulish man. And you hear so much, and you see so much. You hear news reports, and you hear what others are saying, and you hear this side and that side, and then your spirit speaks. And sometimes, or most of the time, it's hard to hear what our spirit man is saying because the noise is so loud in our head and in our minds. And he said, I know, I see that. He was very compassionate and he was very sweet. And he said, I know. But here's the thing, here's what I need to do, and here's what I will do. And he said, this is a promise. I will quicken your spirit. And then I saw in Romans 8:11, where it says, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that spirit will quicken your mortal body. That means your natural man. That big mouth person. You know, we've got the natural man and we've got the spirit man. Paul said, I see them both warring within me. Stacy, when something like this happens, you will see that natural man and the spirit man. And believe me, in 2020, not only myself, but you too, those of you that went through COVID and all of us that did, those of you at home, you got your own stuff going on. But we met up with both of those parties. We met up with both members of our flesh, just like Paul. See, the Bible says that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And God said, I. But you tell my people, I am going to quicken their spirits, but I'm going to awaken it. I'm going to wake it up. See, when your spirit is smothered and put down and not allowed to talk, it's talking and it wants to be heard. But everything else is swirling around us. Woo! It's just like a whirlwind. And the Spirit saying, how about me? How about me? Now, if you go over to Kings, you would see that God spoke to Elijah. We won't go into all that. Elijah had done a lot of miracles, and now he's running from the spirit of Jezebel. God said, Elijah, you go over there, and you stand in the mouth of the cave, and you hear what I will say to you. And all of a sudden, the Bible says there was this major earthquake. It was so powerful. It was so hard. And the rocks began to fall. And it was an amazing earthquake. It split the land. And yet it says the voice of God was not in that quake. And so I'm sure Elijah's trying to say, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? He told him to go stand there and you'll hear my voice. Then all of a sudden a wind came up, probably more than a Texas wind of 150 miles an hour. I mean, who knows how fast this wind was going. I mean, it just tore up everything. Poor little Elijah's probably saying, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Oh, you got to hear God. You said you were going to speak. Is this what you're saying? You're going to tear things up, God? And then it said there was fire. Oh, there was things that were happening, and Elijah's looking at it, and then the Bible says, but God was not in the fire, he was not in the earthquake, and he was not in the wind. You know what it says? It was in a still, small voice. Still, small voice. But see, we hear all these winds, and we hear all the tormenting lies around us, and the lying spirits, and we say the truth. Excuse me, we see facts. The fact is, somebody's sick. The fact is, somebody's broke. The fact is, politics are crazy. The fact is, America's in trouble. But what is the truth? What's the truth? Right here's the truth. And now, here's the truth. But God said, but we're going farther. He said to tell you, there will be a truth coming up out of your spirit Because your spirit will be awakened. It will be quickened by the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead. That spirit will quicken our spirit. Hallelujah. And he said the voice of God will not be in the mess around us. In COVID, and when everybody went down, I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, are you saying something in this? When our loved ones passed, Lord, what are you saying? Get this word. No, it's not in all that, honey. It's not in all that. It's in you. It's that still small voice. Hear me. Hear what I am saying. Don't listen to all of that. Get in the mouth of the secret place. And you will hear as I quicken your spirit. And can I go farther? I think this is Paulette 3 or 2. I'm not saying this saith the Lord. But could it be? I think so. When our spirits are so awakened and quickened by his spirit that our mind will finally have to shut up and hold its peace and ask permission to speak, because the mind will be weakened as the Spirit of God comes up strong and pure and holy and righteous, just like God said it was. See, when God awakens personal spirits of man, that's when there is an awakening all over the land. When he awakens you and I, that's when the awakening comes. And an awakening, the awakening changes nations. And it changes governments. See, the Bible, Isaiah said, and he prophesied, the government of the world is upon Jesus' shoulders. And he said, I want you to know that. Your spirit is trying to tell you that. But your mind is saying, oh no, we just saw this president voted in. We'll get into that later. And he said, you've got to know that the glory of God is upon his shoulders. Now, let me give you a little example. Is Isaiah in the house? Is Isaiah still here? Last week, I mentioned to you that in honor of Maureen, and probably now in honor of Randy, we'll get another one. I wanted to plant olive trees right out here outside of that side of the church. It's a little curbed area. I've always wanted to put a fountain out there, but I think we'll put the olive trees because that's the side of Olive Street. And I went on to say something I knew in my spirit. I'd never told you before, and I just flashed it out there. And I'm not sure. I think only one person caught it. With his spirit. I said, and when this awakening comes, we are going to call it the Olive Street Outpouring. I think somebody probably amened about like that. Maybe clapped their hands or something. But when I got home, wasn't 2 or 3 hours later, I get a text on my phone from Isaiah. He's the one that plays the keyboard. The most quiet, unassuming person in the whole house. You're blessed to hear him talk to you. But that one, the still small voice, sends me a text. Pastor, what do you think about these? Do you like any one of these pictures? And there were 3 different olive trees. And he had designed the olive trees, put a landmark Christian center at the top and the Olive Street Outpouring. And you don't even know what that did in my spirit. See, he heard it. He caught it. He got it. Somehow, Lord, he heard it with the spirit. Church, we so get in a pattern. I'm not listening good. I mean, not even listening to what we're hearing in the church. Not even really listening to the songs we are singing and really worshiping. Sometimes it's just so light and so shallow. Because our mind is rattling. We're thinking of whatever we've got at home or whatever's going on or what somebody did. And I hear him say, begin to listen to your spirit, man, because I will awaken it and I will quicken it and it will never be the same. And that's now, you guys. That's right now. That's now. How in the world? You and I have saw a lot of things. And for me to be giving you this sermon this morning, it will be a miracle for us to be able to even allow it to be pulled off by the Spirit of God. With everything going on around us. We had a president voted in who is like a little puppet on a string. Who would ever think that the president of the United States would be puppeted by the people full of hatred around him? The AOCs and people that's never even, I mean, no more than a senator, people telling him what to do. How in the world could a president put his left hand on the Bible and with the right hand and swear that he would protect the Constitution of the United States and with his other hand sign over 40 executive orders reversing law and order, releasing abortions to unmeasurable levels that are crazy, that would stand with the Marxism and the socialist agenda to silence God's people and conservative voices. And yet today we are hearing words like unity. We must have unity. Come on, folks, we must have unity. Come on, man, you gotta have unity. Don't you for one minute be deceived. They are not talking about unity. That is a deceiving, lying spirit. It's total deception. It is lying unity. What they are saying is, will you come on and agree with us? You agree with us or else what? We will shut you up and we will shut you down. And if you use your pulpits to dare speak one thing that it's against this liberal agenda, we will close your doors. I just heard that the Pentagon is coming against the things that were set in order, law and order. Who would think for one minute that 30-year-old giant, those tech giants, could close the mouth and censor and shut down a Twitter account of the president of the United States? We used to call the president the most powerful man in the world. But when a 30-year-old techie nerd can shut him down, we're in a new world. It's a new era of the world. It's a new era, yes, but it's also a new era in the church. Amen. And that's why God is speaking, saying, look, I want you to listen to what your spirit is telling you. Every single one of us have to know what our spirit is saying. Because you have a little circle of people around you. And the spirit is wanting to speak to them. And he will speak from God that speaks to him. And he will speak through us. So it's vital that every one of us hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Have you heard? Have you heard? I learned this back in, I think it was October, November of last year, that the liberals were revising a Bible, not just adjusting the King James Version. No, they are creating their own version. And they have, at that time, they had adjusted over 2,000 words with gender names. They will eliminate man and woman. And if it says brother, they will say brother or sister and sister. I mean, they are adjusting and turning this thing around to where it will fit what they want it to say. Where God says yes, they will say no. Where the gender is set this way, that word will be changed. It is an antichrist, liberal, far left Bible. And it will have the word Bible on it. You want to go farther than this? Maybe. No, I'll say it. I couldn't believe it. You can look it up. You can search it. But it says the Southern Baptist Convention had a hand in adjusting that Bible. Now that stands against everything those people stood for. But people today are being intimidated by the loudest mouths in this earth. They scream louder. They scream wicked things. And as they scream, we hear it all. And fear rises up. Luke 21:25 said that we will see signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And there will be upon the earth distress of nations. With confusion and perplexity, the wind and the waves will be rolling. Did you know they had winds in Bakersfield the other day at 70 miles an hour? I heard up north they had them over 100 miles an hour. We had a little winds. But it said, with perplexity, the wind and the waves will be rolling. And then it says something that's happening right now, that men's hearts will fail them for fear. For looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. And right now, fear is gripping the hearts of men and women. I've got to tell you, when I heard the Pentagon was standing against the ways of President Trump, when he endorsed the military, and he endorsed the policemen, and he endorsed Israel, and did many great things, and they're turning the whole thing around, and the Pentagon is standing with his administration, fear gripped my heart. It really did. It grabbed a hold of me. And I had to say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. That's my mind. You're not getting into my heart. I heard from God the other day that said, my spirit's in control. No, 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 that's not what my spirit says. My spirit says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Love. And what else? Say it again. What? Power. And a sound mind. He hasn't made little weaklings out of his church. See, that isn't to everybody. That's to those who do believe. And he said, and then men's hearts would fail them for fear. But when you begin to see all these things begin to come to pass, you just look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'm telling you, folks, Jesus is preparing the horses. Excuse me, Jesus probably has, and he probably called my husband to do that because he's probably preparing the horses. But his coming is soon. Now, I went to San Fernando years ago. I went about in the late 90s. I went with Lila Trahoon from the Great Pensacola Revival. And I was honored to go. She came to California. And she called me. I had met her. And she called and said, look, I want you to go with us. There's three of us. We're going to San Fernando Valley, San Fernando to the city. We're going. We want you to go. It's a prayer meeting. It's a huge prayer meeting. Many, many are gathering. And I want you to speak. And I want you to say what the Lord has laid on your heart. And she said, all of us that speak will speak of the Lord. And he has said he will give us a word. And he has told me the people to take with me. I said, okay, okay. Well, man, I went in fast and praying, say, Lord, what do you say? Well, I didn't get anything until I just about got there. It was that night, actually, in the hotel room when we got there. And I got there and got all my stuff settled and began to pray. And that's when he began to speak. And he simply said, tell them about California. And I'm thinking, well, what about California? And on Friday's prayer, the Lord brought that back to me and said, bring that up. That's for such a time as this. See, because though God does not live in time on earth, everything is timed perfectly. And he said, it will happen in its time. It meaning the Holy Spirit's time. And he will call the Holy Spirit to do what he's told it to do. And so we've got to be mindful, because those of you who pray in the Spirit know that every time you pray in the Spirit, your spirit is communicating with the Spirit of God. And in Romans chapter 8, it says, who knows the mind of God except the Spirit? The Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God knows God's heart and knows His Spirit. And then can you believe that He actually communicates with our spirit? That's why God was telling me it's not a little thing. It's not a little thing that you hear my spirit. So you must not allow your mind to hush up my spirit when I speak. Yes, it's His spirit. And it's our spirit coming together. But you've got a spirit in you that looks just like you, acts like you, talks like you. And it's set there. It's your very life. But He said, let it speak. And may the voice of the natural man set down. I said, okay, Lord. So I go back thinking of those things. See, we understand better, I say to you, many times. If we understand the natural, we understand the spiritual things better. And the Bible says it's the natural and then it's the spiritual. And I said, well, Lord, I mean, He just gave me this download in San Fernando and it happened like that. It was just like a download. And He said, remember the gold rush of California? I said, no, not really, Lord, but I sure heard about it. And I looked it up. And the gold rush, listen now, there's some little nuggets in this. The gold rush came to California at Sutter Creek, which is right around Sacramento and San Francisco. In fact, I just Googled it yesterday, and it was 40 miles from Sacramento, Sutter Creek. And so one of the men who first discovered real gold, he set out, he made a little bill, a little pamphlet, and he sent it out. And when they discovered that gold was now beginning to be seen, that was 1848. And it lasted, in fact, that bill went out. Do you know when that bill, that little flyer went out? On January 24th, 1848. And it lasted until 1852. It didn't last long. But people came from all over the world. And they pulled out billions of dollars of gold out of those hills. It was a moving thing that happened. But the Lord reminded me of the gold rush and said, just as that gold rush was in the natural, so will my people in the last days experience my golden gold rush of the Spirit upon the church. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise Him. The gold rush. Well, as I sat, I began to hear the Spirit go a bit farther and say, but look at Sacramento. Look at San Francisco. It's been taken over by evil. Just where the natural gold was found. Now people don't even want to go to San Francisco. You don't want to take your children there. You don't know what they might see on the street. They said, but just as that spirit is rushing to try to take over what I did, I'll tell you, there's a mighty gold rush falling upon my people, upon the church, if they will only hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. To him who has an ear, may he hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to his spirit and to the church. See, what kind of gold, Pastor? Golden glory. His glory is himself. His glory is his manifested presence. You say, yeah, but his presence is everywhere. I know his presence is with you in your car, in your home, at work. His presence is always with us. He is Emmanuel. He's always with us. But his manifested presence. Oh my goodness, folks. When His manifested presence shows up, it is His splendor, His majesty, His person, His presence. It's everything He is. And when it walks in, He just takes over. And there isn't a thing you could do. He said that kind of glory. I'm talking about that kind of glory. Tell my people to get their spirits ready to hear what I say to them and catch every word that comes out, that my glory might be released. Just like young Isaiah heard it in his heart and acted on it. In Houston, Texas, the glory of God came in late 90s. Nothing like we're going to see. And when the glory came in, Tommy Tenney was sitting upon a platform. He was at some church there, evangelist Tommy Tenney. They were sitting there, and all of a sudden they heard something. It was after worship. People were just worshiping all over, laying on the floor worshiping. And they heard the noise. It sounded like a plane or a locomotive, a train. It was a roaring sound. And the people just began to fall out of their seats, get out of their seats. And they were moaning and they're groaning. There was a cassette tape. And I heard their moans and I heard their groans. And we were never the same. After just hearing that tape, I was never the same to see what the glory of God did to the people when it came in, manifested. And whether you believe this or not, it's true. It was documented. And when that happened, there was a big podium like our other podium we have up there. And when that presence came in and the people began to moan, the pastor said, I don't want to go up there. And evangelist Tommy says, I'm not going up there. He said, I'm afraid I would be killed in that presence. Finally, the pastor steps up and he tried to hold onto this podium, and when he did, it split right down the middle. The minute the pastor touched it, it split right in the middle, and it went about 20 feet that way and 20 feet that way. That church was never the same. People came from all over. You're talking about a gold rush. They run all over to see the power of God when it falls like that. Folks, we've seen nothing yet. I don't even think Azusa. No, I know. Azusa hasn't seen anything like this. Number two. He said, look back to what happened to California. The other was the gold rush. But you know what they call San Fernando Valley? God gave me this word there in San Fernando. But we live in San Fernando Valley, and we've heard a lot about it. Newsom just mentioned it the other day. Oh, we're going to open up the restaurants, and we're going to even open up San Fernando Valley. But they shut San Fernando Valley down. Our churches, the restaurants, everything they could shut down and shut up. But God said, and reminded me, what else did they say about California? Well, God, that we're the breadbasket of the world. Yes, you are the breadbasket of the world. We live right here in Porterville. For those of you watching from Missouri and Texas and North Carolina, you should see our little town of Porterville. It's beautiful. We sit in a little valley, and there's hills all around us, foothills. And yet, we cannot drive 1 mile. I mean, we can't even drive a half a mile that we don't see oranges and grapes and lemons and walnuts and pecans and all kinds of trees. Fruits, we are the breadbasket of the world. If you go south, you're going to run on to alfalfa fields and barley fields and all kinds of fields of wheat. You go out toward Tulare, you're going to see dairy farms. We're milk producers. Oh, we're not only the breadbasket of the world, but we present milk for babies to drink. And God said, just as California, just as the San Fernando Valley was under attack, my San Fernando Valley will be the breadbasket of the world. Just write it down, folks. You're not happy about it. I doubt that you even heard what I just said. We will produce the bread, you and me. us who listen to our spirits. Chris, I loved seeing you online, just standing there by yourself singing that song. I love that, Chris. What was he doing? He was producing a field of wheat. He was producing a jug of milk. An apple tree. Producing. There will be more, and you're going to be shocked at the part you play, church, for this San Fernando Valley. And not just us, but I'm just telling you what, California has taken a beating. You would watch even Fox News and they would laugh at California. We were laughing stock. Oh, we've been called, yes, the state of fruits and nuts. Maybe rightly deserved it, you know. To think of the governor that runs up there in Sacramento after the blessing of prosperity that God gave California. But the glory is going to hit that capital. The glory is going to hit that place. The glory is going to hit California. That golden glory and the breadbasket of the world. They will smell fresh bread on you. You're just standing there at Walmart shopping. Someone will walk past you, maybe a drug addicted person, and they walk past. They will come back to you and say, you know, I don't know. I felt a wind when I walked past you. Something came out of you. I believe you can get me delivered. I can believe you could get me free. What is that? It's fresh bread. It's milk. I mean, all truths run parallel. We understand the natural, then we understand the spiritual. I call this message preparing for the big one. Can I give you the big one now? We live in California. What have we heard for years and years? The big one's coming. The big one's coming. The big one's coming. Can I ask you this morning, church, tell them out there in Missouri, tell them, what's the big one? Don't act like you don't know what it is. What's the big one? Thank you. It's an earthquake. They told us that California's going to fall off in the ocean. It could, maybe, I don't know. But the big one's coming, the big one's coming. But when I was in San Fernando, the Lord said, that's not the big one. The big one is the water of my power. It's the living streams. It's the living water. It's a living water that Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, come to me and drink. He said to the woman at the well, woman, if you knew who I was, you would be asking me for a drink. If we really knew the power of what we just said earlier, what Paul said, he said, be anxious for nothing. Don't you worry about anything. Not anything, but pray about everything. Pray about it. And then thank me for it. And then I will guard your heart and your mind. Okay, I'm going to close with this. Because all around us, we're hearing threatenings. Oh, they're threatening. I'm going to threaten to shut you up. We're threatening to censor you. What's the word I'm looking for in the censoring when they're closing down Twitter and all that? Cancel. Cancel culture. We're going to cancel culture. All of these things. Let me give you a true word right out of Acts. Okay, they face the same things. Acts, I want to read Acts chapter 5. Chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Man, I'm going to tell you something. When the glory of God hits California, see, everything, they say everything hits California first, from fashion to everything. But when it hits, it's going to shake the entire nation. And those that have laughed will mourn and they will cry because something else will be happening to them. The great harvest is upon us. That's why he said, I want you to hear what your spirit is saying. I want you to experience the gold rush. I want you to be the breadbasket of the world. I want you to have the big one, my glory rolling, where the Bible says that in the last days, the water of the Lord, he said there will be a living, 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 living water, not dead water. We can't drink our water here in our little city. He said, but this water is living, and it will flow down out of the right side of the altar, and it will flow out into the streets. And he said, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water, rivers of faith, rivers of love, rivers of power, rivers of his glory. Well, it happened in Acts chapter 4. The Holy Spirit came in. I mean, the big one happened in Acts chapter 2. But by the time you get to chapter 4, they needed a whole new filling. Now, you may have been filled with the Spirit, but if you haven't prayed in the Spirit in many years, you need to be refilled, and I pray you'll get that today. Peter had just preached, and the Bible says these people out there, they realized, listen to this, and when they saw, put up verse 13, Tana. Just put up verse 13, because already over 5,000 people have been saved. Now listen, another reason God wants our spirit so sensitive is because he's going to put people in front of you and they'll walk right into your trap and want to know how to be saved. I'm not giving you pie in the sky. I'm giving you the truth of the word. 5,000 men came to know the Lord. All right, but look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness, somebody say it, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Not that they had gone to Harvard. Not that they had gone to PC. Not that they had graduated from high school. Not that they had plenty of money in the bank. Not that they had never been divorced. Not that they had never had a bad childhood. They saw these guys. They thought, man, they're just ordinary men, and besides that, they're uneducated, and they're untrained. They've never been to Bible college. But what did it say? They marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. See, this is what they're going to see on you and on me. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they couldn't say anything against it. See, that's where we're headed, folks. This lying, filthy, aggressive world, they won't be able to say anything against it. When the power of the Holy Spirit, the big one, rolls in on God's people, the power of the Spirit begins to heal people just like this. This is why COVID came in such a fashion of fury, because it wanted to take over before this happens. Not going to happen. All right, here's where I want to take you, and you'll see us in this. Let's go to verse 29. Here's what the people said. They said, oh God, they are threatening against us. Look at this, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Look at their threats. Would you stand with me right now? I want you to read this out loud with me. Do you have that up on the New King James? Read it out loud and hear it with your own spirit, because we are being threatened with all kinds of things and trying to be intimidated by what they are saying. Katie Couric said they're going to have to reprogram the minds of over 70 million people that voted for Trump. Go ahead, baby. Try to reprogram God's people. Not all God's people voted, but conservative people did. Verse 29, now, Lord, read with me. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Look, by stretching out, read with me, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through us, no, through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Read with me, and when they prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Let's read on. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. Because they were of one heart and one soul. Pay attention to your spirit and let the Spirit of God speak out of you. Father, you hear their threats out there. But I pray, Lord, that you would cause these men and women of God and our children and our children's children. May every single one of us speak with holy boldness in our hearts. Hear what thus saith the Lord, that our minds would line up. And Father, I pray if there is any man or any woman feeding into their mind, Lord, pornography or, Lord, evil, anything that they know is wrong. Maybe they're justifying it that it's not wrong, but show them that it's wrong. You said you were going to not just adjust our heart, but awaken it by your Spirit. You said you would awaken our hearts and quicken us. Quicken our mortal bodies. Those desires, those evil desires, those addictions. May every addiction fall off of every man, woman, and young man, young woman in Jesus' name. May they fall off today. May holiness be the pattern of our lives. In our speech, may it be your pattern. May our ways be like your pattern. Father, I thank you for your glory. I thank you for making us the bread basket. I thank you, Lord, for the big one, the glory of God that is coming. May we prepare our hearts, Lord, as you prepare us. Father, behold their threats and stretch out your hands to give us signs and wonders by your holy child, Jesus. We look to the cross. We receive the shaking, Lord. There's a shaking in this land. Shake off everything that needs to be shaken off of us. Our minds are not timid. Our minds are not weak. Our minds are strong because our heart is stronger. Our spirit is stronger in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you receive that today? If you do, would you lift your hands in prayer? Would you lift your hands and receive it? Come on, just spend time with the Lord right there. Receive it as they sing. Yeah, just receive it. Come on, keep receiving. Keep receiving. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, shake this house. Shake us loose, Lord. Shake us loose.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Well, Vivian is going to be leaving us on Thursday. Those of you that may not know her sister Maureen, they were companions together in the same home after her sister became a widow. And her sister went to be with the Lord a couple of weeks ago. So she's going to be moving to Sacramento to be with her other sister. Would you stretch your hands toward her? Hands off, sis. I'm sorry, Kathy, I can't even touch her. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bless our precious sister. Vivian is anointed by you. You've brought this woman of God a long, long ways in the past 20 years. Lord, she is a charter member with us. And I love this precious woman. She's been an altar worker. And how we miss those times, Lord. Soon to be restored in Jesus' name. Now, Vivian, we bless you and we send you with the blessings of the Lord upon you. Now, I pray that you will find a great church, whether it's Sammy Rodriguez's church, I pray it is, but you just remember what God is going to do in California. You'll be right there by the Capitol building. You'll be there. So may the glory of the Lord rest upon you, and may you go with a missionary mentality, ministering to your sister, your brother-in-law, and their family, and wherever you go. Come on, church. Say, we bless you and send you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We love you so much, Viv. You go and be blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, our sweet Lord. May we remember what you have said. Isaiah 60 said, when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness covers the people, your glory will be seen upon us. Your light has come. This is the day, Lord. This is the hour. I just say, help yourself. Help yourself to me and to your precious people. All I know is when we founded this church, you said your name was over Landmark. Your name would forever be over us. You said a little one would become 1,000 and a small one a mighty nation. And it's time. Oh, Lord, we honor you. We love you. And this house is hungry for your glory. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May be gracious to you. Turn his face toward you and give you peace. Turn his countenance towards you and bless you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for being at Landmark today. Say hello to some people that you have not said hello to or met before. Introduce yourself. Thank you guys for being here.